This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
In your head, they're a hero.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's how the battle plays out. Yes. They survive everything and everyone else is dead.
That's right, yeah. It's just Return of the Jedi in my head. We're on speeder bikes going through the forest. This is awesome.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast. In this series, we'll be talking about Star Wars Legion. My name is Jay Shalansky, and I'm here with my friend and the only man I know that rolls crits on white attack dice, Nick Allen. And we're also here with the man, the myth, the legend, Evan Bulris.
How's it going?
On today's cast, we're going to be talking to Evan about Nova Open. He took a trip down there. We're going to take a look at the winning lists. We're also going to discuss meta and also terrain. So let's get started. So, Evan, you went down.
Yes.
You took a trip.
How was it? Excellent. If you ever get to experience Nova Open, 10,000% worth your time. It's just a big convention of people who like-minded who just want to play games and drink, and I can get behind both those.
And so now you went down for both Legion and X-Wing.
Went down for Legion, X-Wing, and Conflict 47, and Shadespire.
Okay, so how'd you do? I guess we'll just get X-Wing out of the way real quick since we're talking Legion today, but how'd you do at X-Wing?
Made day two, top 65. I think I ended up coming in 51st out of that. I lost my first game on day two, but no, it was a blast, and it's the end of 1.0, so we're good now.
Was there a huge push because of the end of 1.0?
No, actually, less people showed up. It was actually in the worst, I think the worst of Grievous Offender. So I was down there and we're all talking about how excited we are, you know, good play. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, this Kylo Ren card, because I'm a First Order player for the new set when it gets released. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a special Kylo Ren card. It's going to be great. And then the guy's like, well, it's only for 1.0. And I did like a double take. I'm like, it's because most of the cards they give you are flip.
Yeah.
So Kyle, like it's normally Kylo Ren 1.0 on the one side, and you flip it and you get a full art 2.0 mm-hmm. card. And at that point, I was just like, I could just drop and go do something else because that's really not what I was in this for. And when the guy was handing him out, he was like, really, he's like, pardon me, excuse me, sir. Super nice guy. He was like, would either of you like a 1.0 Kylo Ren card? And people are like, nah, because you can't use it in 2 weeks. It's like, you know, so I'm like, right. I'm taking it. You know, I'm like, give me this. Mine now, right? Like I'll put it in a shadow box or something.
They're just trying to get rid of their surplus.
Insane. Like it was a big slap. It was like, not only do you have to get through 1.0, but here's your prize, you know, like right. You don't even get to see it. So but other than that, it was a blast. Actually all tournament was good. Got a lot of fun on all of them.
Oh, that's good. So then okay, let's talk about Legion. You wanna go over what you did for your list?
I totally net decked it. Because I don't get to play enough in it to really have my own flavor. So I did Veers with a Steam Leader, two full Stormtroopers with Impact and Flame Troopers, four Stormtroopers with DLTs and Impacts. One had Concussion because I ran out of Impacts, so I just, whatever. And then a full AT-ST.
Okay, and you said you played, what day was it you played?
Saturday, so I think it's day three. Day three. Say.
And you went 2-1?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
So did you feel on your loss, were you like wiped out completely or did you feel like you had a chance?
So at the beginning I thought I did, and then I put, he moved Vader up and my AT-ST could see him, like two sets of troopers could see him. Vader took three rounds of my entire armor shooting at it before he went down. At that point, the bikes came behind me, hit two or three sets of bikes and Vader.
Yeah.
And he just came back and just was like rolling real hot, and I just wasn't. So I felt very dicey that game. Because even if you aim with an AT-ST, you get, what, two?
Right.
And at one point, I rolled on my two reds, blank surge. I'm like, okay, I got the aim token. Pick up surge. I've never wanted to throw dice before, but that was just like, well, these worst dice, okay. So, no, super nice guys, all of them. But yeah, that first game was just like, he was rolling real hot.
Yeah, I think, and I guess this is with the whole game, I suppose, but as someone who plays Vader a lot, he seems one way or the other. Like some days he'll come through and he'll just be killing it. You'll be rolling all paint and you're just like, yep, I'm never going to die. And then the next game, it's like within the second turn, he's just gone.
Oh yeah. Like I maximum firepower the first turn, got him and I got two damage. And I'm like, all right, this is it boys. You know, let's do it. And then that was the only two he took. Actually, near the end, like turn four, I finally got him. But at that point, it was more of a moral victory that I had to kill Vader.
Yeah.
Because he pulled, like, my guys off cliffs with force pulls, so just falling to their deaths. Like, I was literally, like, the worst case scenarios. Oh, but
God. I love that so much.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, that force pull, force push is amazing.
Yeah, it hurt. I'm like, well, how do we do... I stopped, I'm like, how do we do falling damage? Right, because I've never been pulled off a cliff before. It's like, well, it's like, I think we said it was like clambering, mm-hmm. so we rolled and I lost another two guys. I'm like, so he fell in front of Vader, like, with just the leader. I'm like, oh, God, you know, but no, it was, yeah.
Yeah,
was
I think clambering, that seems like a good rule.
I didn't know
that.
What we were like, we were getting for the judge and like, we both kind of agreed that seemed, because it wasn't that far. It wasn't like height one. It was like a size of a trooper down. I know there's probably rules for falling, but we just rolled like, well, it's just like you did a move action down.
Yeah, that seems
reasonable. Legit. That's, yeah, you know, yeah. I'm like, I was like, dude, you got this. Like, after three, like, my ATSD shot, couldn't see him. And then, like, we did the mine mission. So I was like, walking through mines too. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, full fired into four, just stormtroopers out in the open, did a suppression. You know, it's just like the worst. I'm like, all right, it's cool.
So, what do you think, this being a bigger Legion tournament, what were your overall takeaways from the tournament in general?
You know, it's funny because I thought Rebels were just going to get destroyed. Mm-hmm. And I had a game where he played fine. He played for the objective. Unfortunately, there just wasn't a whole lot of terrain between him and my ATSD. So I was just like wiping off squads at a time. Then my dice became hot, right? Like, it wasn't like, you know, when he played, I didn't think anything he did wrong. He just had to go for it because I had it on my one objective, shooting at number two, right? I was like, what's he going to do? Because it's way the heck back there. But I saw more Rebels than I thought. A lot of people played Rebels. I thought it was going to be like real heavy Imperial. Not so. Like, most of them were playing Rebels.
I think this goes back to what we were talking about in the last podcast, where Rebels are more difficult to play, but as the game goes on and more people play with them, they get better.
Yeah, yeah. So last time Nick and I were talking about, you know, I tried to play Rebels list, and I was telling him afterwards, I'm like, man, I more respect to you because these guys are crazy difficult to play. Mm-hmm. And with like the Empire, I feel like I have to, you have to think with the game overall, but with the Empire, I feel like I can just line up and be like, all right, boys, let's see what happens.
No, sure. Stormtroopers with the DLT, especially. DLT is so forgiving.
Yeah.
Like range 1 to 4 to red. You just shoot even if you don't get the rest of the team to shoot. Like, mm-hmm. okay. But without it, Stormtroopers feel like they're just useless. Like, right, they're just DLT carriers to get that thing to the fight. The next list I want to try I'm going to try Rockets. Impact 3 is pretty good. And no one really brought a whole lot of Impact stuff, so...
The HH-12s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to tap them and take, you know, ready them back mm-hmm. up. But a lot of ATSDs, like every Empire army I saw for the most part, besides the ones that won, oddly enough, had an ATST in it. And I'm like, man, like, if only I had some... Like, my list was fine against it, but if I was running a troop-heavy army, like, you got to have a little bit of impact, or else, like, the ATRT is going to walk all over you.
Yeah, and I was reading online a little bit, and a couple people had made comments about they saw way more ATSTs than they thought they were going to see.
Oh, yeah, they were
all
over the place.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, you know, similar to Vader, where... for a while there, and we're going to talk meta later, but you know, with Veers and the bikes, like, that seems like such a great list, and it is a great list, but I think more and more people are seeing the value, even though they're 200 plus points for each of them, but I think people are seeing the value in the ATST and Vader more.
It's a variance monster. It's like the Z7, like, you throw sometimes, like, I shot at a Leia once, it was like 10 damage other times. And you're just like, I guess she dies, right? Like, it's right. What you can do. Other times I've threw and threw and threw. Like that first game, like, he shot every round, didn't get a hit in, and you can't. He doesn't surge on attacks.
Right.
Reroll doesn't seem two dice doesn't seem like enough because stormtroopers are rolling like 5 dice. You're like, okay, rerolling 3 because I've got precise is pretty good.
Right.
I'm hoping maybe like down the line they get a like one of the pilot changes. Maybe he gets one that gives a precise instead of arsenal. That might be cool. So it makes the rerolls feel a little Because aim token sometimes, like, you get a true roll white dice, you're like, oh, I had a group of 6 snowtroopers shooting to Vader, that same game, 6 blanks on the white dice, reroll 2 into 2 more blanks. I'm like, okay, all right. Didn't even, like, if it was a trooper, it wouldn't even give him suppression, right? They're just like, hey,
yeah,
we're we're gonna shoot. but no, I think it's a variance monster, and then when variance runs hot, it's crazy. It's crazy good.
Yeah, it'll be, and I think it'll be interesting too when Boba Fett comes out, that maybe it makes more sense to run Vader as well, you know, especially with all the lists out there.
Oh yeah, they just launched this article too.
Yeah.
Well, they go at least show all the command cards.
Yeah, and I mean, they looked good, and you know, we're hoping to go over that in another podcast, but yeah, I think it's, I think people are starting to wake up that the points for Vader and for the AT-ST are worth it.
Yeah, I didn't think they were at first, but after this round, especially with Weiss being a, like a, with Veers, you get Imperial Discipline.
Yep.
Pip 3, you get to free on top of Weiss, and then I gave him an aim token, and then I fired with everything again. So it was, you know, it was insane. Like, the amount of weaponry I was pumping into infantry was crazy.
Yeah, and so you're playing all four weapons, too, so you're getting the arsenal, too.
I really, you know, it's tough to take one off, because the mortar is really great. That one to in, like four to infinite is pretty okay, especially if you get long march, you can just do something. I think the grenade launcher is actually like the unsung hero, because everyone takes a light blaster because that's at one to three, so you can just make those huge pool of dice.
Yeah.
But to say you don't get cover, especially to like rebels or anybody else hiding behind, they don't get suppression, especially because you cover. So if they're covered down behind like light cover, you just, well, you're taking all, you know, all of that. I play my AT-ST real aggressively, though. I move them up real close so that that two, that range one to two for the grenade launcher.
Yeah,
I'm always using it. Like,
well, yeah, but I think, and I was kind of downplaying and beating that grenade launcher up a little bit in our last podcast, just because I guess I was looking at it from more of like a single weapon. But I suppose if you're playing all four with the arsenal two,
because that's that pool, right? Yes. So it's that pool of dice. So when I'm putting my main cannon, my light blaster, and that into you, if you just unfortunately happen to be in range one. Even Han with his three rerolls, if I get like six, seven hits, like you just get your rolls, right? Yeah. No, like duck and cover doesn't count, like nothing. So you got to be real aggressive with them, but it, if the, they're real sneaky and they move behind you, that's when all you can do is like pivot, right? Like, right. Like please, please. So I wonder if maybe the, I really want the Snowspeeder's little hook gun to be good ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you, you know, you fly, you shoot at it, you fly by, and you pivot and you spin the AT around so you see its butt, and then everyone just fires into it. But
it's not, it's not accurate enough for that right now.
Even if it did like pull the next wing where it was like you roll all these dice, and if you hit, you cancel them, and then you just get the spin. Because it's one red, right? So it doesn't surge. So you just throw and you just, like, right, you hope it hits.
Yeah, that would be really. That would be neat.
That's my only idea to make it good, right? Because right now, one dice is a whole lot of hopes and prayers to get to do that.
So did you, I guess that's a good question. Did you see anybody playing the Snowspeeder at all?
I don't think I did. I'm trying to think about it. Like, maybe one had it. But the guy who won our day definitely did not with Rebels.
Right, right. Yeah, I, you know, Nick and I were arguing about this a little bit last cast, where I think it's, I've seen it be successful.
Yeah.
You've seen it do work.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it work, and it in my head it's almost equivalent to playing like one unit of speeder bike or one unit of speeder bikes. It does work. It does what you need it to do, but then, you know, Nick breaks it more down by effectiveness overall.
Well, that in your comparison is like half the points.
Yeah, that's fair too. Yeah. Yes.
My fear with the Snowspeeder is if you ever get weapons disabled, it's over.
Yes.
So, like, main cannons, and you're like, immediately, like, I don't even have to look at the card. I'm like, whatever those two things on the front of that thing are, they are not firing anymore. I lost a game with my AT-ST playing casually because I built it light with a light blaster and the main cannon. My first roll was weapons disabled, so I lost my main cannon. What? I'm throwing three dice at that point. Like, it was just big dead weight at that point.
It just seems, for me, it seems odd that they, and I know they got a lot of pieces and units and stuff they're putting on. It just seems odd to have something at that cost level that doesn't do that much. So I'm wondering, are we missing something? Are they going to add something? Like, what is it that we're missing here?
I think it's a balance thing. So the speeder bikes versus the AT-RT, I feel is stronger. Because it has the armor, it's harder to kill.
Yeah.
Where you have the air speeder versus the AT-ST, the AT-ST is stronger, it's harder to kill, and your speeder is your sort of light firing weapon.
Oh yeah, I'm terrified of AT-RTs. I ask which one has a flamethrower. The first one, I'm like, do you have one?
Yeah.
Second is which one's got your heavy laser cannon. because I was going to take out my ATST. So who do I target first with mine? So like, I'll do like ambush or whatever I can to activate my guy first to kill their ATRT. Mm-hmm. Just so it's off the board, so I become a god. Right, I'm just like walking through, I'm like, you don't surge in crits, so hope you roll well, right?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the few units that they have that are truly scary, I think, from a Empire standpoint.
Anyways. And they're scary and they're versatile, because you can build them so many different ways. Like, with the speeder bikes, they're just the speeder bikes.
Yep.
Right, that's it. And the ATST will always have that main cannon, so it's always going to be like 8-6 dice at you, and it's always going to kind of like ouch with impact 3, like it's just going to murder something. But with them, like, you can, if the meta becomes very infantry, you just throw a flamethrower on it, sneak it around the outside because they got climb, right? Yeah. So vertical terrain doesn't matter to them.
I feel like you'd almost need to run similar to like what Nick runs. You need to run two, one with a laser cannon and one with a flamethrower, because you need a distraction in order. Like, it's similar with the snowtroopers and why I run them so close to Vader, is because you need a distraction to get them to survive to get up close to do what they need to do.
I mean, you have to. You can't ignore it.
Right.
I think that's tough, though. Like, the list we were briefly touching on, just like two laser cannons and a rotary. I think if you're going to play laser cannons, you need two of them. Just to have because rolling three dice, just one ATRT, it doesn't do enough just on its own. You have to run two.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of, so I guess we'll move on and start talking about the good segue, Nick, and we'll start talking about the winners by day. So for day one, first place was the Twins Rebels list with a variation on a third ATRT, and second place for the Empire was the Veers Speeders list. That looks pretty straight down the barrel meta. I'm trying to remember. But the Veers one looks pretty straight down meta.
Yeah, I ran something very much like that for a while. I like speeder bikes, but I liked them when they first came out because I like cavalry. So I wanted that horse. And cavalry in other miniatures games have always been really expensive, but this, they just give them to you. Yeah. So I'm like, time to do some bikes. So I like that a lot. So bikes can either go be the champion of your team, or they're just glass that just falls apart when they get hammered on.
Yeah, and so... So what I'll do real quick is I'll read out the whole list for everybody. So for the first place Rebels, they had Leia and Luke with no upgrades. They had the Fleet Troopers with a scatter gun, Fleet Troopers with just bare bones, Rebel Troopers bare bones, not at 4 but at 44, Rebel Troopers with a Z6, and Rebel Troopers with a Z6, and then three ATRTs, two with laser cannons, and one with a rotary blaster. So, you know, Nick, I'll go to you on this one. You're the one here that plays Rebels. You play two ATRTs. I don't know. What are your thoughts on having a third one in there?
Well, the first thing that stands out to me, and with the rest of these lists, all of the Rebel Troopers and the Fleet Troopers don't have the extra troop. That's something I've never done. I like to deck out my stuff, so I'm gonna have to try this.
Yeah.
And the rotary blaster, the reason why I don't play it is because it just feels like Rebel Troopers with a Z6, but a bit stronger, but more expensive. So it feels like it's just fitting in well with those troopers as well.
Yeah, that really worries me with the troopers without the extra one in there, especially rolling the white dice for defense. That seems like they're gonna go really quick.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this guy was really, really good. But I wonder how he prevented some of that.
Well, he probably plays the way I do, where I try to shoot first and minimize the damage coming back at me by eliminating some troops on the other side.
Nick is a shoot first, ask questions later type of guy.
Very much so.
Totally.
Fair.
And then we have, for the second place, they have Veers, no upgrades. Stormtroopers with an extra trooper in the DLT-19. There's actually four of those. Stormtroopers with DLT-19, no extra trooper. Snowtrooper with a flametrooper. And three speeder bikes. So, you know, I've played a Veers list before. I now play Vader. Veers is fine. You put them in there for the command cards and the low points, right? Yep. That's the whole reason to play them.
Yeah.
I get this list. It's successful. It clearly wasn't successful this day, but, you know, I mean, we don't know if these guys played each other or how the variant worked out on this one. But, yeah, I mean, it's straight it looks pretty straight meta. So I think there's not a lot of surprises here. I'd wonder how he did with the Flame Trooper. Maybe use the bikes to distract from the Flame Trooper. Now, when you were playing, Evan, when you were playing Veers, were you playing Snow Troopers at that time? Or
yep, I was with my current list. I do with Veers. I run two Snow Troopers with Extra Trooper, Flame Trooper, and Impact Grenades.
Yeah,
and they just march. So you put the AT-ST on one side.
Yep,
and you put the Flame Troopers on the other, and you just march them like in. So they either have to put everything into those Snow Troopers to probably get close, because as long as that Flame Trooper's alive, it's still terrifying.
Yes.
Or the AT-ST, gotta kill that too. With bikes, I usually flank with them. Like, I have the whole army go one way, then they all go to the other side.
Yep.
Yeah,
but, you did that. Yeah, you did that with me.
Yeah, that's usually how I play them, because sometimes it works real well. Other times they just blow up.
Well, and that's, you know, and I get why the bikes, and, you know, Nick was saying last podcast, he doesn't like anything with a compulsory move because he likes to be in control of how things are working. But like, I found with the bikes, they're good. But for my playstyle, like, I never seem to be able to play them right, because I'm either too quick with them and I bring them in too early to start like taking out troops. Or by the time I bring them in, I just put them in terrible situations. Yeah. And then they just end up dying.
Yeah. If you know your best shots with a pistol, that's probably trouble.
Only gotta, yeah. Yes.
Things went wrong.
All right, so we'll move on to day two. So day two, we had Empire in first place. Second place was Rebels. And before I get to the list, I just wanted to mention that I grabbed these Nova Open lists from swlegionodds.com. It's never tell me the odds. This guy is amazing. He basically, what it does on the blog is he breaks down each of the units and the mathematics behind their dice rolls. And I go to his site every day seeing if he has new content. And I believe, I want to say that the second place list here, yeah, this is the one. This was his list, actually, that came in second place. This dude's really smart. He has some really cool tools on his website as well. He actually has a spreadsheet that he gives away for free that you can download and plug in your units and their dice and see how they'll actually fare mathematically. So anyways, just quick plug for him over at swlegionodds.com for all of you listening. So first place was Empire. It was Veers with a command presence. They had the Stormtrooper with an extra trooper, DLT-19s and concussion grenades. Another one of those. Same setup, Stormtroopers with a trooper, HH-12 and impact grenades. Stormtroopers with a trooper and HH-12. And then Snowtroopers with an extra trooper and a flame trooper. And then three bikes. Man, that list, I don't know, that list feels crazy strong.
That's a lot of dudes. That's a lot of... concussions is interesting, because I feel like impact is pretty good, too. Pretty much as long as you get them black dice at range one.
Yeah.
The grenades are worth the points.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's, for me, I've seen... I think they're both equally situations that I've seen where concussion's really great, and then I've also seen impact really work. Yeah. Especially, you know, I throw impact on my snow troopers, so that a lot of times what'll happen is somebody will send like an ATRT after me, and then I have impact.
Yeah. Great. No, I'm glad to see the HH-12s in there, because I feel like they're very underused, but maybe secretly really good. I don't know.
Yeah, did you see them play at all? Or
no. I didn't see anyone use them.
So, you know, my issue has always been the cumbersome and the exhaust. And maybe it's just my play style, but I don't know that you'd have to really get yourself in an ideal placement for that to happen and to really work.
Yeah, yeah. I think, so I've always complained in Legion that height doesn't ever seem to matter, because like ranges are kind of short and does give you a bonus. But with something like that where it shoots, what, 2 to 4?
Yeah.
Height matters a lot, because you get to see everything. So, like, that's, I mean, light, if you can't see their base, it's light cover. So you're shooting with a rocket launcher that you can just ready, fire, every time you're holding a point, and they can just lob missiles at you. I feel like that's, even if you're not doing damage, just getting that suppression out there to really make someone's life miserable. Like, you know, talk about it later, but snipers are real great, because they can just be like, double suppression, double suppression, double suppression. So they're kind of like that, except impact.
Yeah.
That's why I see them anyway.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, for me, my play style is a little bit more aggressive, so it's...
Yeah.
I think it's play style, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm just like, let's tack. I don't want to rest. I don't want to wait. Yeah, I don't want to tap, you know, I don't want to untap this card. I just want to go. I want to fight. And that's, I mean, that's really what the DLT 19s are for, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I still think probably overall they're the best trooper you can add. Like,
yeah.
Period, to any army. Like, 2 red dice, 1 to 4, impact 1. Pretty okay.
Yeah, hard to argue.
Yeah.
And then the red dice on defense.
Yeah, 2 red. Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
So for second place was Rebels list, Leia with esteemed leader, Luke with force push and force reflexes, had a set of fleet troopers with an extra trooper, scatter gun, and he had grappling hooks. Rebel troopers with Z6, and that is 4 times. So 4 of those units with Z6, AT-RT with a laser cannon, AT-RT with a laser cannon. So, Nick, I'll go to you, the Rebel player here. That's interesting. I mean, he's doing the same thing with all the Rebel troopers, pulling the extra troop out in favor of a bunch of Z6.
And it is super, super close to my list.
Yeah.
It's just a little leaner on the troopers for an extra Rebel troopers with a Z6.
Yeah, and I see what he's doing. So when I first saw this, I was like, why are there random grappling hook in here? But then I saw it was on the fleet troopers. I was like, oh. That makes way more sense. I'm going to get these guys into position and just light everything up that comes at me.
Yeah, and if you put if you have that very terrain again, you put your objective on top of one, you roll them up there, they'll shoot because it's right. It gets us a full action if you don't have them to not lose a guy. You get a like end of base contact, then move up, or they don't. They can just move up like plow, right? Like, so I think that's kind of deceptively cool, but also situationally not terrible for like 3 points or whatever they're worth. Like,
yeah,
exactly. It's 3 points.
Yeah, like who cares? Like, maybe you use them, maybe they're the start of the game, maybe you don't use them.
Well, and I think similar to flame troopers or snow troopers, I wonder, that'd be interesting to put grappling hook on the snow troopers too.
Yeah.
Because then you can just put them into just random. Yeah, like it's going to be random.
And
but
now I'm up here.
Yeah. Right. You just put them into a random position where they're now on top of everything, burning stuff.
Yeah, that's not bad.
All right, so we'll go to day 3. So first place was Rebels. They had Leia with no upgrades, Luke with mind trick and force push, fleet troopers with scattered gun, 2 of those, Rebel troopers with a trooper and Z6, 2 of those, Rebel trooper with a Z6, and 2 AT-RTs with laser cannons. I think this is pretty straightforward, right, Nick?
Well, you'll notice all these lists look very much the same, which goes back to what we were talking about last podcast, which is that Rebels do not have a lot of options. And yeah, two laser cannons, Z6 troopers, some fleet troopers to add some spice, and then Luke and Leia.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is the 2 fleet troopers with the scatter gun. That, I mean, that would be pretty terrifying, I think, if I saw that, especially if they're holding down an objective.
Yeah, the more I play the fleet troopers, the more I like them. They're really difficult to play, but they're really good when you play them well.
Yeah.
There was a time when you took a standby. And I was using Veers, and I'm just like, I will not do anything with Veers.
Yes.
Is it fire or a move for standby? You get to fire?
It's if you make an action within 2.
Yeah, so I activated Veers, and I'm just like, and he's done.
Yep.
Because it's going to be, it was like 4 troopers, 2 white dice apiece, plus a shotgun. I'm like, he'll just watch. It's fine. He's
5 troopers.
Yeah, 5 troopers.
So it's 10 white dice and 2 red dice.
That's really funny, yeah.
And then, let's see, for second place, we had, this is the interesting list I think I want to spend a little bit of time on here. They had Vader with saber throw, force push, and force reflexes, Veers with esteemed leader, 3 sets of stormtroopers with DLT 19s, 2 sets of snowtroopers bare bones, and then 2 speeder bikes. I have no idea what you would do with those snowtroopers without the flame trooper.
Yeah, I feel, because when I'm moving up and I'm just firing their main gun, it's more like maybe I get one to get suppression, and then the damage comes when I get close. He got second, I guess, right? Like, yeah, right. You know, like, what am I going to say? But, I need, like, the extra gun with them, or else I just feel like I'm not.
Yeah.
They're not scary to me. If I see him move up without a flame trooper, I'm like, well, I'll get to him later.
It's possible that... They're in there because they're better than a regular stormtrooper, and he had the points.
That's true. That's true.
Well, yeah, because they have they can attack after they move. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's interesting. I saw that, and it struck me as really odd, because I was like, all right, well, I guess. you know, they're going to be slow to move in. So maybe you move them into an objective to try to hold the objective, and then, you know, keep your bikes, you know, your bikes come around the other side on the flank, keeping the other troopers busy. Maybe it just seems, I'm trying to think of just how you would use them properly.
The one thing I've noticed about all the lists, it's either 9 or 10 activations for all of them. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, and this is something we talked, I mean, we might as well talk about it now. And Evan, this is something we brought up on the last podcast. I have started to put a lot of stock in activations because, you know, Nick and I were going back and forth on this. I've just seen so many times where, like, a 10 activation list, I don't know, like, I just feel helpless for a really long time.
It feels bad when you move your 7 guys or 8 guys and they still have 3 more. Mm-hmm. Like, to put this to another point, so in Conflict, they do the same thing in Conflict 47 or Bolt Action. You take a die for each troop you've got and you put it in a bag. And so instead of each of us randomly pulling out of our own bag for what we get, the group pulls out of one bag. So you and I would both pull our dice in one bag, and we pull one out and we activate a troop. So I had 8 activations on my list. I'm thinking Legion, right? I'm like, well, that's pretty reasonable. They had 18 and 16 because they had a lot of two-man troops or a lot of, like, I was doing full squads.
Yeah.
And so if you ever think, like, 3 activations is bad, imagine having double that and then just, like, hoping your guys make it, you know, right? Like, and then... So, yeah, like, more activations is always better because you get those more options. Especially, I was looking at a Vader list. I was just with 6 troops, decked out troops. But that's only 7 activations.
Right.
So you just hope that maybe you don't run into that 10 guys so you get 3 turns of them just firing on you before you get to do anything.
Yeah, the most I've ever been able to get up to is about 8, but I felt, like, really weak and not...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Vader, you know, I don't mean with Veers, you could probably get 9 or 10, but with Vader, I always, like, 8, and I'm like, well, I don't know, guys, I don't think this is gonna play. But even the way, like, sometimes the turn order happens is that not only do they have 3 more activations than you, just period, but depending on the turn order, they now have 4. So you've completed your turn, and now they're gonna go 4 times before you even get to look or move or do anything. Like, I think the last time we were playing Friday night, I just, like, was taking breaks at the end because I was like, all right, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go grab a soda.
Yeah. Hey, just tell me how many
dice rolls, right? Yeah, just tell me who you're shooting at.
Yeah.
And so, the activations, I don't know. I think that's a big deal.
I think you and I are putting too much stock into that extra trooper.
All
these lists, they're all stripped down of the extra trooper.
I think so too. I think I saw somewhere, probably on that same website, on the SWLegionOdds.com, I think they were saying that maybe that extra trooper isn't really mathematically needed when you have the Z6.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's something behind that, that all these winners are doing it, right?
Yeah.
But it's also with the stormtroopers. They're all stripped out of their extra trooper and just add the DLT-19.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, I know the stormtroopers have red defense dice, but for God's sakes, every time I play them, I'm, like, getting wiped out so quick. And I'm like, I need an extra trooper.
Yeah,
I can't do this. Like, I'm not going to survive.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So Evan, with yours, how have you been feeling with yours?
What feels real bad is when you get hit by Leia's orbital bombardment
and you lose. I hate that card so much.
It's that and maximum firepower, 2 cards I don't like in the game because it gives you that turn 0 feels bad, man. So, like, with Veers, when I play some heat, all I care about is just firing that maximum firepower, whatever I can. So, like, I do, you know, I get down on the table and I'm like, well, Veers can see the foot, right? Like, whatever I can do to, like, maximum firepower. And same thing, the orbital bombardment. Like, when I started my 3rd game, I lost 2 snowtroopers, and 1 regular stormtrooper, and I hadn't even gone yet, right? And each had suppression, and I'm like, geez, you know, like, this is blah, right? Like, this feels real bad.
Yeah, and I think that...
I mean, it was really good rolls and really bad rolls on my part, but still, like, that swing,
yep.
I'm already in my mind, I'm like, I'm super behind now.
Yeah, and I think that might be, like, I don't know. I don't know if this is the case, but my thought on that was that was their answer to the bikes. For the Rebels, it's because if you're running 3 bikes and then your opponent's running Rebels with Leia, you know who's getting targeted that first turn.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen, and you're probably going to lose 1 or 2 bikes for sure. You know, not the whole unit, but, I mean, like, the mini.
Yeah. Get some damage on them at least.
Yeah. And so that's, I think that's really interesting. I think that is a game changer too. When I see somebody playing Leia, I'm just like, oh, for God's sakes, because that can change your deployment. Yeah, I think.
You know, it's funny because I'll take, if I see him Leia, I'll take maximum firepower, whether or not I have a shot sometimes, just so I can move and try to shoot her. Or right, like, because I need, like, I just want to get that shot off before she does, before something gets wiped.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's really funny. Unfortunately, with Vader, like, Implacable is cool, but you're like, ah, maybe I'll get an extra move. Like, it doesn't feel as, like, return fiery.
No. And I think it's a, you know, we were talking about this last time, too. I think it's a later game card half the time, because he doesn't get to, in my experience anyways, it's usually turn three before he even gets to anyone.
Yeah.
And now, so you know pretty much, like, if I'm playing, you know, somebody and I'm in close contact, there's a solid chance the next turn I'm going to be playing that. So you know what's coming, and I think that kind of makes him a little predictable. The other one we were talking about is the three pip there that...
Master of Evil?
Yeah, Master of Evil, yeah, that with the suppression.
That's super good.
It is, but like Nick brought up, by the time you get to use it, he's going to be able to do something before you because he knows that three is coming.
Around it.
Yeah.
And but I don't know. I think it's, and we were talking about it. We kind of plays into his whole lore, right? Is that you see that hit that command card come out, and I think you as an opposing player, you go, oh man, like I need to move some of these guys immediately.
Yeah.
So I can play around it with it. Play around it, but I am forced to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, for the orbital bombardment and the maximum firepower, I've been starting to question that because it feels like if I'm playing that, I have to play it first.
Yep.
And I don't like that.
Leia's card for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way around that unless you're playing the...
Long March.
Yeah, the Long March.
Well, you can just not play it. You can not play the card. I'm really curious. Like, I doubt they had them, but it would have been nice to see what command cards these guys played, if they actually played.
Oh, and what? Yeah, no, I didn't see
all
that.
The expected ones.
Right.
I see value in not using a lot of the commander's cards sometimes, like Ambush. Mm-hmm. Is a really great card. Sometimes even though Implacable is great, sometimes you just don't want to activate Vader in a pinch situation.
Sometimes you need to activate that ATST first.
Yep.
Immediately be the first thing to do anything.
Yep. So I run just the... I only run one commander because in Empire, that's generally just what you do.
Right.
But I run the four, and I don't think I'd ever get rid of those unless something really good. Like, even I was looking at Boba Fett's cards, I'm like, they're all for him. Like, I could lose one or two of those just to get, like, maybe a good punch in for them. But, like, having those generic, like, when you need it cards is just, they're hard to get rid of.
Well, and that's, that's interesting. I would wonder if this guy with the that got second place on day three, if he ended up playing both their command cards, or if he's swapped out some of the, you know, the general ones. Because I think, I don't know, that list is just interesting. And this brings me back to, you know, what we were talking about with Vader. I think he's coming back. I think he's going to come back big.
I hope so. Well, more force powers, right? Like, eventually, I'm sure Palpatine will bring one or two new ones.
Yep.
And anything more, like, just need more, right? Like, just change them up. Yep. Because right now, that saber throw, force push, reflexes, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's Luke, you can kind of get away with running light because he's less points.
Mm-hmm.
And but Vader, I feel like if you don't build him out, you're wasting, like, Master of Evil. I could call him Master of Evil. Master of the Force.
Yeah.
If you don't have at least one on there, you feel like you're just throwing that, like, points away for that.
Yeah, for sure. I think you can't play him bare. He has to have at least saber throw.
Yeah, because that makes Relentless just all the better.
Yeah. That's the only downfall, but, I mean, I don't know. And you were talking about how you're going to switch back to Vader now, too.
Yeah.
I've been playing him for a little while, and I tried Veers, and it could just be me, but I was like, I don't understand this guy. And so Vader's just way more my style. He changes the board. I was talking with Nick, like, you know, Nick and I were talking, and Nick said, you put Vader down, I have to rethink what I'm doing on that end of the board.
Either you ignore him or you go all in on him, right? There's no, like, with Veers, like, after I do maximum firepower, I'm like, well, I guess so. You know, I'll keep him up there so he gets the commit, like, he's more or less just a barometer so people don't flee at two. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you could use some aim tokens. Like, he's not, awful, but I feel like Leia when I see her after she does that, she's still good. Like, yes. She's still got the command cards. Revere's is kind of like, I blast. I guess you can inspire. Here, take a name. Like, it just doesn't feel like...
Now I'm all done.
Yeah, that they feel it. Like this. After that, even after that first shot, they're even. But after that, like, I feel like Leia just has that more...
Well, she hands out dodge tokens. Yeah. She shoots really well. Yeah. Luke does not shoot well at all.
Yeah.
He punches good.
Yes.
Yeah. Got those he does punch good.
Yeah.
He does get those two black dice.
Well, that, so the couple times I played, and the last time I played him, I was playing another Empire list, and he had the AT-ST, and he was playing all four weapons with Arsenal 2.
Yeah.
And he, for some reason, out of all my units, he decided he just wanted to suppress fears, and that's all he did with that freaking mortar. Just suppress, suppress, suppress. I think, I don't know, Veers had so many suppression tokens, he started to panic. Like, I was like, all right, I've had enough of this guy. You know, and then I'm like, Vader, that's it. I don't even, I don't care how much he costs. That's who I'm playing from now on.
Like, I got so used to playing Vader when I got Veers, I forgot, like, half the suppression rules because he just doesn't take it, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, he's not running, whatever.
Right, yeah. He's, yeah, it's interesting. And I think, oh man, I think he's undervalued, Vader. And maybe that's changing. You know, you said you saw Vader there, and you're thinking of switching to Vader. We clearly see him in a second place list at a big tournament. So it just makes me wonder if maybe the value proposition is coming back up on him now. And, you know, we talked about this before, but that Pierce 3... Especially if you're throwing the saber, it's just like, there's a 50-50 chance three of you are dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's just it. This is happening. So
it's well, so good.
They're different lists. Like, Veers and Bikers is very aggro. Anything you put Vader in is very control-y. Like, Vader is a control unit.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. But it feels like a almost a control. It's a mix. It's like a control aggro list, too. Because I feel like with the you have to be aggressive with him in order to have the control.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And so I think it's a good combination between the two, and I think that's why I like him so much, is especially with linking him up with the snowtroopers and almost in my head using him as like a unit leader for the snowtroopers, and they just stick together. I mean, you guys have both seen that and how devastating it can be when it finally gets to you.
When we played, he marched his... of Vader and snowtroopers all the way across the board. I wasn't paying attention to him because I was playing the objective. And then he gets over to my guys. I had two full squads of snowtroopers and Veers behind him. Right, I'm just handing MAME tokens, and he moves them to the train. And then Vader rolls up, pulls him out of cover, kills the whole squad, walks forward. The flame troopers walk up, kill the rest of the squad. I try to run with Veers, pushes him off the board, dead. I'm like, holy cow, there goes like 300 points out the window.
Yeah, and we were talking, and Evan was like, oh man, I thought I just had that game. I had that game, and then all of a sudden I think I was within 1 point.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
at the end of the game.
It was insane.
Yeah, and what, I think it was one turn, like by the time I got him up there.
Yeah,
like,
it was this one turn the whole game swung, and thank God I just happened to be lucky with like my bikes coming around behind you, but that was insane. It
well,
was
that, insane. You know, and that was the, you know, just strategy for that one. Were we playing the ones where you had to get your units across the enemy lines? I think that's what
breakthrough,
we were
doing. Breakthrough, yeah.
And it's unit leader on that one. And so I saw his bikes coming down, and what I did was I just put a bare-bones stormtrooper unit in front of him just to kind of slow him down, and then I just moved everything else away from his bikes and just went on the other side of the board.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. That's the interesting... I think we all can agree to that, that's the interesting thing about this game, that I know that these meta lists keep winning, well, variations of the meta list, but I really don't feel like any list is wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can come to the table with any list and you have just as big of a shot to win as one of these meta lists.
Oh, sure. As long as your points are filled out, like, you... Right, there's got to be something like to do it. So I agree with that, like, it feels like I've just lost to crazy stuff before. I'm like, okay, I guess. I saw snowtroopers with that ion gun.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't ask him how he did with it, but it's out there. People are trying it, so.
Yeah, we were talking about ion guns last time too.
And how much I don't like them.
Yeah, they're interesting, but I don't know, they're weird.
It's so on like
that's my professional opinion, everyone.
No, it's
they're
weird.
No,
it's fair. So like ion like on ATSD reduces the aim, won't get an aim because probably gonna aim and fire. On speeder bikes, it doesn't get to aim and fire.
Right.
Or you get your free movement and probably just firing. So I wonder how much, with extra reroll, how much damage it's losing because it only gets one action. But bikes, you get to move and shoot anyway, so it feels like you're,
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, who cares?
Yeah, well, and I think that's, you know, probably one of the things I wasn't taking advantage of with the bikes as much when I was playing them. So I play Vader in an AT-ST now, but is that I just too aggressive. Like, I would be like, compulsory move, then attack. And yeah. It's like, no, man, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you just slow roll bikes. You keep getting compulsory move, you're like, aim, shoot.
They just, in my head, I don't know why, but just my head is broken in a way where I'm like, I want them to go fast. I'm just throwing them across the whole battlefield for no particular reason.
In your head, they're a hero.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
That's how the battle plays out. Yeah, they survive everything, and everyone else is dead.
That's right, yeah. It's just Return of the Jedi in my eyes. We're on speeder bikes going through the forest. This is awesome. All right, so I think what we'll do now is we'll move on to metagame. So I think we were touching on this already, but I think we'll just wrap it up a little bit here, is the metagame has been for a while, the twins on the rebel side, with two ATRTs, excuse me, and troops with Z6. And then on the Empire side, it's been Veers with the three bikes, snowtroopers with the DLTs. Evan, we'll start with you. You were just at a fairly large tournament. Do these still hold up? And if they do, do you see it changing at all?
Yes and no.
Perfect.
So that's just easy. With Han, I've gotten to play one game against Han, and he's real good.
Yeah.
I think we just need more. Right now, we're just so starved for content, right? Like, it's like Leia and Luke are just good. They'll be good until, like, we get another option. Where Veer's, like, the Empire just, that one list that held to him and Vader was great, but I feel like you either just play Veer's or you just play Vader.
Yes.
Like, just for point costs and what's going on. And with Palpatine coming out being like 200 something points, like 210 or something, that's probably just going to be a one dude list. But I like the Rebels because you get a couple commanders. You could almost run like, you know, Han and Leia or Han and Chewie. All the Han and Chewie cards are synergistic with Chewie, right? Like Notorious Scoundrels, you get to activate Han. And that's so cool. So I think right now it's just going to be stale until we start getting that, like, that influx.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting when Chewie comes out because he's an operative.
Yeah.
So will you run just Han? Or will you run Han, Leia, and Chewie, and like how that's going to break out?
Just like the movies, that's right?
Everything's like the movies. But yeah, you're right. On the Empire side, you can only really play one, I think, as well. But I've always found, especially when coming up against the twins, and maybe it's in my head, but I always feel like I'm at an extreme disadvantage, especially with command cards. And I'm just like, oh, for God's sakes, they got a command card with flavor text. Every command card. I'm just going to play push, I guess. Yeah. Or, you know, like, and I'm just like, oh, for God's sakes. So it's interesting. And you know, we have been talking about how I really think Vader's going to come back into play. So, you know, I think the next couple tournaments will really start seeing where people are at.
Oh, sure.
And then, you know, I think, Nick, you're right. I think probably for us, some of the things I'm after seeing all these lists, some of the things I'm going to take a look at is trying to slim down my troopers even more. And just, I think most of them are. I think I just got a DLT on them. But, you know, I just have to take a harder look at how I can maximize my points and see if those, I mean, on the stormtroopers, I don't think the extra guy really does matter because he's one white die. I mean, I think it's like a 0.03% increase in hit probability. You know, so it'd be interesting to see kind of those bare bones troopers and see how they hold up. So, all right. So the next, and this one I'd like to spend a little bit of time on, is terrain. So on the, you know, if you're watching it on the YouTube channel, we're showing some pictures and we'll make them available on the website and stuff. This is the terrain that Evan actually shot these images. All images are copyright of Evan. I put that in the bottom just for you, so nobody
can steal
that. Yeah, he will get a fifth of one penny for every view.
Perfect.
You know, and so part of the conversation has been for a while, not just looking at Nova, But overall, and I know this is a conversation online as well too, so you know, if you see this in multiple places, listen, everybody's talking about this. Terrain feels sparse. And right now, you know, we're looking at the, now, Evan, you said this was quarter of the table based on these images that we're seeing.
Yep. So I got there early Wednesday. We got there at night and they hadn't, they started setting up all the stuff and I was bored and I'm like, yeah, man, I'll give you a hand. I got nothing else going on. So, how it works is there's, they had a pallet of mats. You put the plastic boards out, put the mats on, and then they have a tub, like a big tub for each table.
Okay.
And it, the nice part is each table's got a piece of paper that tells you what each terrain is. Like, this is light cover, this is covering cover, this is heavy cover. So you can just pull it out under the tub and be like, okay, here's our cover. You don't have to like, well, I think that thing looks a little, right? Like, there's no arguing. And to the other bit of cool credit, each one had a broken ATST.
That is neat, yeah.
And I mean, that's pretty cool. Now, for the bad part, like, they do cover the 25% of the table because I stacked it up because... a lot of people, like, when they're helping, like, we just got random volunteers from all the things, like, how do we do this? You know, I'm like, well, they got to be this range and that range. You know, I'm like, but no one had any range rulers at the time. So we're just kind of, like, you know, making it, we tried to make it diagonally correct. So, like, okay, the one in the middle, it would be the red mat if you're looking at these right now. You make it so, like, each side's got about the right if you cut it down the middle.
Yeah.
And it's just, this is the Fancy Flight official stuff. And we did what we could, right? Like, this is just what we had.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, we were talking about when we were first playing, and man, this could have just been some random place that we read this, and it may not be real at all, but I swore I saw somewhere that it was a third of the table.
I remember
and,
that too.
Yeah, and so this quarter table thing seems real weird. And I was looking at it, and you know, just for people who are listening who can't see, you know, we will have the images, but... it's not a lot of it is height. A lot of it, you know, a lot of like building rocks. There's a few that are like tall, like kind of mountainous, impassable terrain, I guess you would call it, especially for bikes. But a lot of it's lower ground level stuff. It just seems, looking at the tables as a whole, it seems sparse.
There's a lot of empty space.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, for, like we were saying, for Empire, that's really good. For Rebels, not so great.
Yeah.
Now, I had, this was, did you set this terrain up for day two?
Day three? Set it up at the beginning. So it's for all the days, went through it. And then I had some time left over, so I helped pack it back up.
Now, were they, I had read somewhere, I believe it was on that same website, that they the first day they didn't have barricades, but then the second day they allowed barricades.
They had barricades.
Did they? Okay.
Yep. They came in the bag. So that, like, some maps have it and some don't.
I gotcha.
So, you know, if he's, I'm going to point here.
For those listening, Evan is pointing at something.
So some that's actually one piece of terrain that the barricades are built into.
Okay, so it's about 6 inches by, I don't know, 3 inches.
Yeah, it's
got a couple,
like, heavy cover.
Yeah, and it's got some barricades built in.
And I didn't get a picture of everything, but some had them pushed around. Some just had the naked barricades. I mean, everything was painted. All the terrain looked good.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, if I was a Rebel player, I might have been upset, but Rebel still won.
Yeah,
so,
they did. 50,
I mean,
yeah, it looked like 50-50.
So, there's that. So maybe as much as, like, I want that cinematic, I want to go to an Infinity game, right, with my Stormtroopers and have a whole cityscape and we're fighting in back alleys and streets, right? Like,
yeah.
I want that. But to the same token of this, the defense of the open board,
yeah,
it makes the game end.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you hear the objectives, I put mine out in the open, and one of us is dying getting to it, right? The game will just grind out till we get it. So no one's like, you have to make those risky moves if you want to play the objective. So I understand, like, man, it sucks. It's like, looking at these, I remember opening it up and I thought it was, I'm like, well, where's the other bin? You know, I'm like looking around, I'm like, and there's like one per table. I'm like, no, I can't be right. I was on a snow map. I'm like, look, there's just, but, it stinks, but it also, like, it has to be portable.
Yeah.
Right. Cause Fantasy Flight ships these in this, and this is their ones they'll ship to eat all the tournaments. So you're going to see. You're going to see this train a lot if you go to a tournament.
Yeah, I guess I saw that some people were saying this was pretty much the same stuff they did at Gen Con as well. So the question I had was, for barricades, based on what you were saying, that they were preset, already set up for each table. So the interesting thing that's been happening, and, you know, listen, we're in upstate New York. I don't know if this is only a local thing, but a lot of stores have been asking players to place barricades. And I think part of the mistake has been that... in the rule set, the terrain needs to be placed before you do anything.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to stay the same way through the whole tournament, no matter who's playing at that table. And so what I've seen a lot in the tournaments we've played, the few that have been around here, is that people have been switching the barricades. Because, I mean, it's their barricades, you know? So they're like, I'm gonna scoop these up and take them to my next table. And I really think that's wrong.
No, I think, like, we should just build, like, throw this. I helped build those tables, and they were like that the whole 3 days. And then I helped clean them up. They're, like, the same way.
Yeah.
So barricades are part of the percent. Now, the game gives you barricades because it wants you to have something.
Right.
Right, like, it absolutely nothing. Like, if you look at the how to play the first game you play, like the real game where it's 800 points, it's like just 8 barricades and that's it, right? Like it's pretty bad, right? So if you want to talk about bad terrain like that, your first experience of the game is going to be terrible. If you're a rebel player, you're like, I guess I run to those and hope I don't get shot. we've also made a lot of like rules mistakes. Like we're all still learning. Like that thing at the tournament, these people traveled these things and people are still getting rules wrong.
Yeah,
and what was really cool is like no one was ever like argumentative about it. They're like, "Hey, well, if I don't know, please tell me." Right? It was like a very like, even the judge come over because sometimes weird things would happen. Like overall, like even though a lot of people are still trying to get like the grasp of what's going on, like everyone's super cool about it. So no one's ever gonna like, I don't say this entirely, but most people I've played with never have like if a rule things came up, like we double checked, we make sure we're right, like. And we both get stuff wrong. Like, we're both playing it wrong because it extrapolating the data it means different things to me than you.
Yeah.
So, like, heck, I've been playing with each suppression up to 2 gives you cover.
Right.
So, if you had 2 suppression counters, you're on heavy cover. No, it's just one. Period.
Well, and I think that came out, that made it really clear with the sniper units and stuff, too, right?
Yeah.
And Han.
Yeah, the duck and cover.
Duck and cover, yeah. I think that's interesting. I think I would agree with that even the stores, like everybody, we're still trying to figure out the rules. We're still trying to understand them. But I think that's the good and bad thing with having a rule set like this versus, you know, I think we were all so excited, like especially if you play any Games Workshop stuff like Warhammer, especially like Fantasy 8th Edition, right?
Yeah.
You'd have that giant rule book. Sure, most of it was like painting and stuff, but a lot of it was rules. And then you'd have your army's rule book.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm grateful that that's not the case. But I think this is kind of the aftermath of that, is the fact that, you know, we are going to have some rules that, you know, we're going to figure out on the way.
No, I 100% agree. Like, the more games I play, like Bolt Action, like every unit is in one book. And it's also the rule book.
Yeah.
So every page in that, besides like the first little bit, is that's the history behind it. But I'm glad as much as I think that's compact and awesome, I'm glad we don't even have that. Yeah. Where I'm be like, hand me your card.
Right.
I can read the rules. How does precise work? Right. Like it's still so smooth and streamlined, and it's very much, it's took the best part of X-Wing where like I don't have to memorize what Orcs with Grizzuk the war leader does is, you know, when they charge, how many swings do they get? Oh, they have a wog going. What's that mean? I could be a Tau player or anything else. I'd never even touch your book. I'm just having to assume you're correct. Right? Yeah. Like, I can't. With this, I'm like, well, hey, could you hand me Vader? No. You don't get just suppression tokens. Got the bar. Right? Like, there's no, like, I don't have to go through like 18 pages of a book and hope I find it. It's just the card.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with that.
All right. So before we wrap up today, is there anything maybe that you saw at Nova playstyle-wise or any unique tactics that maybe we should all know about now and be aware?
Oh yeah, of? Sure. So, you know, it's funny you say that. So the guy who, I don't know his name, unfortunately, who won, what he would do is he would take his leader, hide him behind blocking terrain, like where he can't
see. So a unit leader.
A unit leader where he can't see or get shot. And use the unit coercion, the range 1 template, and put them all out in the open if you want to take a shot. And so they would fire, and if they got fired back on, so he's rebel, so if he has a dodge token, it's whatever, they're kind of meant to be in the open.
Yeah.
No matter how much damage he took, right, if he killed, he took 8,000 damage, right, only the ones that are seen actually die. That's the official rule. So his leader would still be alive because he didn't shoot, nor was he in the combat. But that's really big deal because sometimes, like with stormtroopers, it's a white die. Who cares? Like,
yeah,
you're just there to get that DLT to shoot or that rocket launcher to shoot. So he would do that, have his guys run fire, and then if they had to go back and take a position, he still had the one leader to go take a position. So it was really sneaky, but it was right? Like, he wasn't like...
Well within the rules.
Yeah. It was how it works. And so that was really interesting. Let's see, what else did I see that was kind of... Someone's going to have to fact check this one. Because this is what happened to me. Yeah, he said it was 100%. So he had battle meditation. So that says when you issue an order, mm-hmm. a unit order, he can shoot it off to somebody else anywhere mm-hmm. on the field, right? So what happened is he would use the one pip Luke card. He would say, I'm issuing Luke the order, battle meditation, giving it to that guy way off the middle of nowhere. And the way he was reasoning it to me was, because it's an order token, even though it's not specific, like it's specific, but because the card, the battle meditation just says when you were issued an order, you can shoot it out. So it was near the end of the game and time was running like short. So I was like, like 10 minutes left. I needed this last turn to win. So I'm like, okay. And he was very adamant that it worked. And I'm not saying he's wrong. But I'm saying that just seemed a little weird to me. And if someone could email us to let us know if that's...
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
It didn't to me, but the way...
the card specifically says Luke.
It did, but it was because it was a difference in the word with the battle meditation. It says, like, just it didn't specify a specific idea and order. That's why he was pitching. It ended up not mattering because he sent it off to a guy, and then I put the same pip up and I killed the guy anyway before I got to move. So, like... it didn't change the game, but it could have. So I'm not like super sure if that's right. If anyone's seen that's legal, let us know.
We'll have to check and see which takes precedent, the command card or the upgrade card.
Yeah, because the rule book says always go by the cards, not the rule book if there's a discrepancy. Mm-hmm. But what if they're both cards?
Yeah.
You know, right? Like,
interesting.
That's the only weird one I saw.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, cool. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at thefifthtrooper.com. You can email us at thefifthtrooperpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter at Fifth Trooper. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great night.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.